This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Centers put in a fabulous week being our fabulous producer, so we appreciate that, all of his help and hard work. This brings us to Friday, where a man whose Twitter handle is at aisle seat, the sponsor that he wears, sponsor, a fireproof sponsor outfit from head to toe that says campustheater.org all over it, is here. He is Mr. Mike McGranahan, fresh from the Sundance Film Festival. Day one is in the books, right?
Today is the first full day. Yesterday was the opening night premiere,
Well, let's get into that. Tell me. Well, let's do your review first. You're ready to do that. I know you got your good, tablet or laptop ready to go. Your review of Scream.
Scream came out in 1996. The new sequel is also called Scream, which I find kind of annoying, not to mention disrespectful to Wes Craven's horror classic. Thankfully, the movie itself is pretty good. Ghostface is back to terrorize the teens of Woodsboro with more brutal slayings. Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette all return to help figure out who's wearing that creepy mask this time. The original Scream was a slasher movie that also spoofed the tropes and conventions of slasher movies. The new Scream is a legacy sequel that also spoofs legacy sequels. The film makes fun of the rules of legacy sequels: the forced inclusion of blatant fan service, the requisite bringing together of new characters and old ones, and so on. All of this is in service of a plot that mocks toxic fandom. The idea that hardcore fans can be angry and even vengeful if they don't get exactly what they want out of a sequel or reboot. That's a cool idea, although it does force Scream to play by those rules rather than doing something fresh or new. Nevertheless, the movie has something worthwhile to say on the subject. The killings are appropriately gory, and it's fun to see the original cast mixing it up with the newcomers. Nothing will ever top the original, but this Scream is a decent entry in the series. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Drew Barrymores.
All right, so you liked it. He liked it. Hey, Mike, liked it.
I liked it. I certainly liked it better than the two prior sequels, Scream 3 and Scream 4, both of which I thought were pretty bad. So this one at least brings the quality level back up a little bit.
Was there no Scream 2?
There was a Scream 2. That one was good.
Okay.
You know, not as good as the original, but good.
But
3 and 4 were
bad. 3 and 4 were no good.
Yeah, didn't care for them at all.
Okay, so you like horror films. You are a real classic connoisseur of great films and art films and great documentaries, but yet when it comes to a good old-fashioned scare, you enjoy that.
Absolutely. It's an art form, and to be able to do it well is really difficult. That's what made the original Scream so effective. I mean, I remember seeing that movie in the theater and jumping and feeling scared because I didn't know where Ghostface was going to pop out. It's hard to do that. And as somebody who sees a lot of horror movies, I see that kind of thing done poorly way more often than I would like. So when something comes along that does it well, I really appreciate that.
Okay, so the original Scream, a real classic horror film, right up there with...
Oh, you could put that up there with Halloween and, you know, things like that. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Friday the 13th movies, but certainly they have the same similar kind of cultural impact, or at least impact on the horror genre that Scream did. What made Scream special was that, you know, growing up in the 80s, horror movies, there was a new slasher movie every week. Halloween and Friday the 13th set off this whole trend where there was just one slasher movie after another, some masked psycho stalking teenagers, stalking nurses, stalking whoever. And Scream came along and did that better than any of the other films had done it, and then added a self-aware sense of humor on top of that, which made it stand out. So I think that's really what makes it such a classic. It took something that was familiar, did it better than we'd seen it done before, and then added that level of comedy to it.
All right. So, and the new one, 2022 Scream, I guess, is you're going to have to go in the record books calling it that, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is the whole thing with these legacy sequels. They take the same name as the originals. You know, last year we had Candyman. Candyman came out in 1992, but there was also one last year called Candyman. The Ghostbusters from 2016 was called Ghostbusters, even though Ghostbusters came out in 1984. That kind of thing annoys me because it just confuses the issue, and I think that they should respect the originals by coming up with a different title. They could have called this Scream 5. They could have called it Scream A New Generation. They could have called it Scream Ghostface Is Back. They could have called it a million things. I don't know why they had to give it the exact same title as the original.
Scream Legacy works for me.
Scream Legacy, that would have been fantastic.
So, okay. All right, so you gave it three...
Drew Barrymore's, in honor of the first person ever to die in a Scream movie.
Oh, wow. What do you know? Okay. And how do I see it? There we go.
It's in theaters.
Just theaters for now, and then we'll look for it streaming later. Okay, let's visit Sundance. So tell us all about the first partial day and your participation, all virtual, but you got your Sundance hat on. You got a nice haircut for this.
Right.
So you are ready.
I got a haircut yesterday.
So tell us about Sundance.
Yeah, for the second year in a row, I'm accredited to cover Sundance. Of course, because of COVID, they switched it to all virtual again this year. So covering it from my home theater. Movies are streaming into my basement. But this is really one of the most important film festivals in the world, and arguably the most important film festival in America. Showcase for independent films, up-and-coming filmmakers, people working outside the Hollywood system. Now, the opening night screening for me was a movie called When You Finish Saving the World, which is the directorial debut of actor Jesse Eisenberg, who we all remember from The Social Network, Now You See Me. And this movie stars Julianne Moore and Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things and the recent Ghostbusters Afterlife. And they're mother and son who really do not connect. They're very separate and distant from each other. And she works in a women's shelter and becomes kind of a surrogate mother to this teenage boy who's there, who she thinks is smart, and she wants to help him have a better life. He falls for this girl at school who's very socially conscious. And the whole movie is about how they go looking for something from other people that they should be looking for in each other. And the movie shows how they eventually kind of recognize that. So it's a movie that has a lot of kind of, bitter, funny humor to it, but also builds to a very sweet finale that's really touching. So that movie is called When You Finish Saving the World, premiered at Sundance last night, and will be coming to theaters later this year from the distributor A24, which puts out a lot of really good movies. So that's one to look forward to.
Okay, and you are going to have an opportunity to see some of what will turn out to be some of the world's best. Is this juried? Are you like to see any dogs?
There is a jury. I'm not a member of the jury, but there is a jury. Okay. And there can be some good, some bad movies in there with the good ones. But, I'll probably see over a dozen movies here over the next week or so, two or three a day. And these are movies that are going to be coming out in the months ahead. These are movies that some of them will probably end up being future awards contenders. Some of them will just be great movies, and we're living in a time when everybody wants to go see Spider-Man, everybody wants to go see Scream. It's important for film critics in particular to kind of champion these smaller films and say, pay attention to this too. This is a good movie. It might not be based on something you already know and love, but this is something you need to pay attention to. And that's my goal in covering Sundance again this year, to find some real gems and to be able to point to them and say, pay attention to this movie.
All right, so you're going to see some of these films. And if you follow the cinematic arts at all, and I do just a tiny bit, at the bottom of every CBS feed, there's entertainment. So I look at, kind of films that are up and coming. Half of them say they're at Sundance, and, the directors and the actors are going to be participating all virtually. Right. So tell me about the virtual participation. This is quite comprehensive.
Yeah, they did it all virtual last year because of COVID. This year they wanted to have an in-person festival and a virtual component, but because of the Omicron variant, they decided that they had to scrap the in-person. So everything is virtual. So, I have set up a schedule. I got, I'm doing air quotes here, tickets for certain movies. And then, I show up in front of my television at a certain time, and I can stream those movies, and then I review them. And, it kind of works like that. So there's no standing in line. There's no dealing with the frigid weather in Park City, Utah. We just deal with the frigid weather here in central Pennsylvania. But I get to see these movies, and that's how it works. It's basically me sitting in my home theater for a week.
So what do you say to your family? Honey, I'm in Utah right now, so I'll be back in a few hours or something like that.
Well, this fills up my work time. I'm not reviewing anything else right now or screening anything else. Everything for this... Well, it goes through next week, so everything for the next week will just be Sundance with me. No other outside writing assignments, no other screening of films, just all Sundance.
And no other work at all? Other paying jobs in your life at the moment?
Right, everything's just kind of on hold for Sundance.
Okay, well, you're in Utah. Heck, why not? Now, one of the things about Utah is the activities that would happen after a film is shown, this conversation, maybe you call it a party, I'm sure it's a sort of a cocktail setting. You've been to Sundance, the real one yet?
Not physically. Okay. I've been to other film festivals physically, but never out to Sundance.
So not that one yet. But, okay, so usually there's a significant post-film conversation that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the back row at that also.
I mean, now with social media, that happens online. Sundance does have some things, like they'll have a Q&A with the filmmakers after the movie that you can watch virtually. But with social media, it's very easy to connect with other people who were there, you know, and kind of talk about what we've seen. So social media really has changed the game in terms of film criticism and how festivals are covered. And people who are not attending can still follow us on places like Twitter and learn about these movies. So I think that's a really useful component as well.
All right. So look on social media. You are what, Movie Mike?
At Aisle Seat.
Okay,
on
so
Twitter.
That's the way to go. Just Twitter. I know you use that plenty.
Right. Or okay. Go to my website, aisleseat.com, because starting today, my coverage is going to begin to run, and it will be updated constantly through the next week.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on that, talking about the Sundance Film Festival. And Mr. Mike is there. So, all right. Super. All right. Some other topics briefly. An actress or singer, Sia.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, Sia, a popular singer, had so many hit songs. She did an interview this week where she said that she fell off the wagon and became suicidal about a year ago. She made her directorial debut with a film called Music that was very poorly received by critics. It was on my 10 worst list of the year. It was an absolute bomb of a movie, and apparently she was that upset about the reaction to it that she began drinking again. Her sobriety lapsed, and she became suicidal. She credits the comedian Kathy Griffin with helping her get back on track and feel good again. So we're glad that she is feeling better and is back on a healthier course. But apparently the reception to that movie was incredibly devastating for her.
Okay. Do you feel bad?
I mean, it was a terrible movie. I don't wish anybody who made a movie to have that kind of reaction to what the critics say or whatever. I mean, you know, she did her best. It was a terrible film. Don't want to see her become ill or suicidal over it.
Well, and Kathy Griffin needed the redeeming points, too, as well from this. So that doesn't,
she's had some controversies in her career, sure.
Either. Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Well, your reviews aren't personal. If I know one thing about you, you use a, what shall I call it, an artistic rubric to look at these things. There's nothing that would indicate that the director is any kind of...
Right. I don't get mean or personal.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You don't have adjectives for this, the names of people. Weird Al Yankovic back in the news this week.
Yeah, it was announced that there's going to be a biopic of Weird Al Yankovic that will be running on the Roku channel, and playing him will be Harry Potter himself, Daniel Radcliffe. So I find that casting really interesting. I'm not sure I would have gone that route, but it kind of works.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see that. All right. Yeah, we'll look for that. All right. And Spike Lee back in the news. You tweeted about that. Mm-hmm. What was this all about?
Yes, Spike Lee is going to receive the Directors Guild of America's Lifetime Achievement Award. And this is so important because Spike Lee has notoriously been overlooked for some of his most profound, important, and groundbreaking works at the Oscars over the years and other award ceremonies. So the Directors Guild is taking a moment here to rightly say, your work has been important, it's been game-changing for the industry, and we're going to give you an award for it. So this is long overdue.
Yeah, so many of his films don't get mentioned in the popular media all that much, but they're such important touchstones, as they are related to U.S. culture or film or race. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah,
music.
And particularly race. I mean, we live in a time when a lot of people want to erase discussions of racism in America. They want to take books out of school. They don't want certain things taught. Spike Lee is somebody who's going to make sure that those conversations continue to happen.
All right.
And they need to.
Fabulous. Okay. Movie Mike, enjoy your time at Sundance down in the basement in your viewing room, which is a pretty comfortable thing. I've seen that in your social media feed. So you have it all set up with posters and everything and popcorn. Enjoy Sundance, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'll give you a bigger report then.
All right. Fabulous. Yeah, I want to hear about some of these films because we know we're going to hear about them later. So that sounds fantastic. Thank you so much, Mike McGranahan. His appearance always sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.